Were you prepared at all for the backlash that's come from the not guilty verdict of George Zimmerman? Were you prepared at all for all this?
Well, I had a sense of this early on as this case became a phenomenon, that it was touching far more than just the statutory work that I had done. It was touching a whole foundational issue to the culture, which is, are we all treated equally before the law? And the rule of law is such an important part of our constitutional structure, that everyone is the same before and receiving equal justice. That's our ideal. So I knew that this would probably come alive again, whatever the verdict. It's also been fascinating to me that the stand your ground provision was really not used in this case. It's really not a stand your ground case.
People think it was, though.
That's right.
Still.
That's right, because it is self-defense. But self-defense in any state in the country has always had a grounds of being able to go before a jury and make your case that you had no choice. It was a me or thee situation. And that if you were to live, that any reasonable person would have to change tactics and act to stop whoever was attacking them. And so you had this ongoing inventory of the details, who is the aggressor and who is the victim, and a lot of perspectives on that. But in the end, the case was decided based on the fact that we had a person making a case saying, I was in a situation where any reasonable person, if they could act, would act in order to save their life. And they were able to demonstrate that to the jury.
You served on the governor's task force that looked at this following the shooting that occurred. And the task force and the governor agreed there didn't need to be any changes to the law. Yet, just on Tuesday, the U.S. Attorney General, Eric Holder, is blasting the law. He thinks it helps to encourage violent situations to escalate in public and undermines public safety.
Well, again, I think it's become a great political football, and the Attorney General is under a lot of pressure to do something. He knows, as a professional, the facts of the case. He can't really bring a hate crime or a civil rights case, because there's nothing to evidence that Mr. Zimmerman was acting in that way.
You know, in Tallahassee, we've got a sit-in going on with a group called the Dream Defenders pushing for change. Do you think it is putting pressure on the governor to call for another review?
Well, it's hard to know where that goes. I think it's a wonderful thing that people can express themselves and that there's a wholesome way to do it. And I am listening to their protest. At the same time, you don't build policy just on that kind of emotion.
In Jacksonville, there's been a lot of discussion about a case of an African-American woman, Marissa Alexander, charged with aggravated assault for firing a warning shot at her husband, who she says threatened to kill her. She was given 20 years, and no one was shot or killed.
There again, that was a strange ruling to me, but then I don't know the intricacies of the case or why the state attorney, who happens to be the same state attorney who handled the Trayvon Martin, the Zimmerman prosecution, and how that case was sorted out and how they came to that conclusion. But where a person is simply a law-abiding citizen doing nothing wrong, whether they're in their home, their vehicle, or just somewhere they have a right to be, I still want them to know we'll stand by them if they will stop a violent act and keep someone. I don't think anybody of any race, of any stripes, any background should have to suffer a beating, a rape, or a murder simply because they were afraid to act. I want them to know we will stand by them. We will not treat them as a criminal if the facts of the situation determine that's what happened. But the characterization that some of the critics are making, that, you know, here's a man who chased down this young man and murdered him, that was not. Clearly, this case was explored fully, and that's not what happened. It escalated into something that should have never happened. I heard a very strange commentary on it that I've never seen a situation where a brown man killed a black man and with the white man's to blame. And somehow that's the rhetoric and the scenario that's being played out on this. And I'm very disturbed by the fact that we're playing that as a race discussion when this is truly about respect for human life and what would keep our people safe and alive.